Life's better with American Family Insurance. Because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do-it-yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's day, June 30th, episode 162 of the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Let's get started. And I got about eight topics getting in about 8 minutes, so I'm going to be quick. Leading off with the Toronto Raptors decide to part ways with President Masai Ujiri. Obviously, Masai Ujiri, who won a championship with Toronto when he had that great trade that brought Kawhi Leonard in, really didn't do much better with Toronto after that. Obviously, Kawhi Leonard moves on to the Clippers. You look at the fact of Pascal Siakam getting traded to Indiana, winning a championship. OG Anunoby getting traded to the Knicks. Knicks getting into the Eastern Conference Finals. And Toronto, even though they picked up Brandon Ingram, looks like a team in flux. Best thing to do in this situation, folks, is Masai Ujiri was going to be on the last deal of his deal. Either you extend him or they let him go. Masai Ujiri gets let go in Toronto and be ready for a complete and total teardown where no player, maybe except Scottie Barnes, is safe. Speaking of a safe, LeBron James decided to opt in to his $25-26 million contract for $52.6 million. And he came out and said so many words, he's ready and he wants to go ahead and win. So it brings up an interesting spot for the LA Lakers, a Lakers team that could be on the market for a big man. Ding, ding, ding. DeAndre Ayton just got bought out. Hello. Could be someone enticing. Or you can look at other guys like Nick Claxton or so on and so forth. But LeBron James opting into something that we're not surprised about. It's about what do the Lakers do on the flip side? What do they do to take care of the front court, specifically in the pivot? Where do they go get themselves a center that's serviceable? Be on the lookout for the Lakers to make some moves. Let's stay in L.A. when James Harden decides to not opt-in and decline his player option, but then signed a two-year, $81.5 million contract to return to the Clippers. And James Harden had a fantastic season for the Clippers, a Clippers team that played with Kawhi Leonard for the majority of their entire year. Obviously, Ibaka Zubac became what I thought was the most improved player in the NBA. Steve Ballmer's team continues to win, and Ty Lue is one of the five best coaches in the world. You got to wonder when it's going to run out. But the way James Harden played and the way the Clippers looked during the regular season, I don't fault Steve Ballmer for running it back. Not a long deal, but a two-year deal for James Harden. Obviously, it doesn't work. They could probably trade him next season when he's in the last year of his deal. But good for James Harden. Two-year, $81.5 million extension to stay with the Clippers. While some people are staying, other people are going. And Utah, after drafting Ace Bailey fifth, which shocked a lot of people, now has moved on a couple of players. I said specifically that they had to move three guys out of four by the start of next season. Lauri Markkanen, John Collins, Colin Sexton, Jordan Clarkson. But two of the four just got moved, literally, in the last 48 hours. First, Colin Sexton and a 22nd round draft pick was sent to Charlotte for Yusuf Nurkic. And then you look at the flip side, which is now Nurkic is the backup center to Walker Kessler, unless Kessler gets traded. And then obviously Jordan Clarkson finalizing a buyout with the Utah Jazz will become a coveted free agent for the mid-level exception for teams looking for scoring off the bench. Knicks, Sixers, Pacers, abundance of the Rockets. A lot of teams will be looking at Jordan Clarkson, a guy that can come off the bench and get buckets. But speaking of buckets, that means more buckets for Ace Bailey. Let's move on with another trade that took place, and Lonzo Ball getting traded to Cleveland for Isaac Okoro. Folks, I'm going to tell you this right now. If if Lonzo is healthy, this is a home run for Cleveland. My problem with Cleveland has been in the backcourt with Garland and Spider being too small at 6'1 and 6'1. Lonzo Ball, great point guard, get you in the offense, 40% shooter from three his last full season. I do believe that was with the New Orleans Pelicans. And obviously his ability to defend bigger guards helps out Cleveland. In regard to Isaac Okoro, I thought his minutes were going to be shaved. Anyway, you kind of saw how that happened. And speaking of Cleveland, shout out to Sam Merrill. He got extended, but do look for Ty Jerome to go get a payday somewhere else because Cleveland will not be able to afford him. But shout out to Lonzo. If Lonzo is healthy, and he can prove it, watch him possibly move Darius Garland. That's my hot take. Let's moving on to staying a couple of guys re-upping or extending. And that's Naz Reid and Julius Randle. Naz Reid re-signed 5 years, $125 million to stay with the Minnesota Timberwolves. And, of course, three-time All-Star Julius Randle declined his option and then signed a three-year, $100 million deal to stay with Minnesota. What a job by both of these guys in the playoffs. Both play particularly well. Show that they can play together. Speaking of playing together, what does that mean for someone like Rudy Gobert, who was rumored to be in a trade for possibly Kevin Durant, when Kevin Durant decided that he did not want to go to the Minnesota Timberwolves? The Minnesota Timberwolves team that I'm extremely high on brings back two core guys. Now, remember, Nickeil Alexander-Walker is going to move on. They cannot afford him at this point, so he will be moving on after this year. So look for two guys, either Rob Dillingham or Terrence Shannon Jr., to step up and get some minutes for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Speaking of stepping up and Kevin Durant, Jabari Smith got his extension, 5 years, $122 million from the Houston Rockets. Someone that has struggled at times to shoot the ball from three, shot the ball from three, I do believe over 40% last year. This is a Jabari Smith that I was really high on coming out of Auburn, and now sets himself in a very interesting dilemma and situation here, because now there isn't a ton of pressure with Amen Thompson, with Durant, and obviously with Alperen Şengün in the front court. Jabari Smith now moves to the bench. Jabari Smith, Steven Adams, Tari Eason, and what either or between Reed Shepard or Cam Whitmore really now makes the Houston Rockets a really, really, really deep team in the Western Conference, and I think is the biggest competitor to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Speaking of competitors, one guy that I always love to watch play is Bobby Portis, a.k.a. Bobby Digital. And Bobby Digital is staying with the Milwaukee Bucks. Bobby Portis is signing a three-year, $44 million extension or deal to stay with the Milwaukee Bucks with a player option for 27-28. Milwaukee is in a really tough spot because they don't have a lot of wiggle room to move around in regards to bringing in more talent. So obviously having Bobby Portis at his disposal in the front court to play with Giannis, should Giannis stay, gives them a veteran presence and a proven score. However, remember, Pat Connaughton also opted in, looked for Brook Lopez to leave and sign a free agent deal somewhere, and we'll have suitors. Lastly, I talked about it briefly. Remember, DeAndre Ayton, after Yang Hansen gets drafted this year, and then last year to draft the Donovan McClingan and Rob Williams, DeAndre Ayton bought out. It's going to be interesting to see who picks up DeAndre Ayton. If they can get this kid right and get him playing the right way, DeAndre Ayton could still be a double-double player in the NBA. Coming up next, we'll get into our war tour. We'll look at some popular props for the number one overall pick, Cooper Flagg, triple-double, 40, 50, 30-point game. When does it happen? How many? And then we'll look at the win total in the WNBA. Some teams are rising. Some teams are falling. We'll be back with our award tour after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 162, and it's time to get into our award tour as we break down the future markets. Matt George, my producer, did a great job of finding some really interesting props featuring Cooper Flagg, the number one draft pick of the Dallas Mavericks. So let's take a look at what Matt came up with. Cooper Flagg to record a triple-double in any game during the regular season, minus 120. Cooper Flagg, 40-plus points in any game, 3-1. Cooper Flagg, 50-plus points in any game, 19-1. And Cooper Flagg, 30-plus points in his first game at 20-1. And I want to really take a minute here to kind of say, out of all of those, I do think a triple-double is going to happen for Cooper Flagg. I think his usage rate is going to be very interesting, folks, especially with the fact that Kyrie's going to miss most of the regular season. Because his ability to pass the ball, because his ability to see over his sight lines and see over defense, and being the fact that if you look at that roster, there isn't a really true point guard in that roster that Jason Kidd will have at his disposal. So I could see them playing him as what we call a point forward. Whereas he could not be a point guard per se, but bring the ball up the floor and initiate a lot of the offensive action. So Cooper Flagg to record a triple-double should be there, because if you think about the assists, the passing it to AD, lob threats of obviously of both Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively, the ability of P.J. Washington and Klay Thompson and Martin to stretch the floor from three, there's going to be driving lanes. There's going to be guys in the dunk spot. And Cooper Flagg is a really great passer. He's also really good at diming people up and rebounding the ball. So to me, I really love Cooper Flagg minus 120 to record a triple-double in any game. And I will say this, the way to play Cooper Flagg early on in the season, rebounds plus assists. He's going to stuff the stat sheet a lot more than you think. Let's head to the W, as we want to take a look at every couple of weeks. We try to look at the regular season win totals of the WNBA and see how they've changed. Minnesota Lynx, leaders in the clubhouse now at 33.5. New York Liberty, 32.5. We'll get to them in a second. Phoenix, 30.5. Indiana, 26.5, along with Seattle. Atlanta, one of the surprise teams, 25.5. Vegas, oh my God, they're falling off, 23.5. There they are, the Valkyries. They were 8.5. They were at 15.5. Now they're at 19.5. Mystics, 19.5, having a good season. Sparks, 14.5. 13.5 for Dallas. The Chicago Sky at 11.5. And Connecticut Sun at 7.5. I know I sat there and said the Chicago Sky are the worst team in the WNBA. Okay. They're second worst. Because Connecticut is awful. And I honestly, folks, don't know when they're going to win another game. I mean, they're so... they're so bad. And I feel so bad for my girl, Marina Mabry, who wanted no part of this team. And all she wants to do is try and win a championship and is stuck there. So, Connecticut, sayonara. Let's go to the Valkyries. Because the Valkyries, I told everybody, 8.5, go over. And Matt said, maybe I'm wrong, but I think I told Matt 15.5. I told it's going to be close. Now it's 19.5. Here's the thing, folks. They have 28 games left to go, and they have the fourth toughest schedule. They still have to play Atlanta three times, Phoenix three times, and three times versus the Minnesota Lynx. I think they're going to fall just short of it, but you got to shout out the play of the Golden State Valkyries at 19.5. Let's keep this up. Chicago right now is at a win total of 11.5 games. I know I've sat there and I punted. I punted at 19.5. I punted at 13.5 and said, take the under, take the under. Now Chicago, I do believe Matt has 4 wins, if I'm not mistaken. The Chicago Sky, 5 wins. So their win total is 11.5, right? So they got to get 7 more wins out of 28 games. You're like, oh, 7-21? They could get there. Timeout. Hold on a second. 4 versus Minnesota, 2 Mercury, 2 New York, 2 Atlanta, 3 versus Seattle, 2 versus the Valkyries. They're easy opponents. Easy. 3 versus Connecticut, 1 versus Dallas, 3 versus the Mystics. Folks, they could lose 2 out of 3 to the Mystics. And let's put it this way. They would have to win all of their easiest opponents to get over that number. Y'all think they're winning all those games? I mean, maybe it'll be Connecticut. Connecticut's got awful. But there's no way they're getting themselves to 11.5 wins. And then you got to remember, folks, when you look at the WNBA draft and basically what we have going here, you got to remember that they are in an interesting spot here in regards to the WNBA draft, right? Because their pick goes to Minnesota. Oh, my God, this is the gift that keeps on giving. So they have to find a way to win. I don't care. They're going to go under 11.5 wins, which is a crazy, crazy thing, folks, is they have the worst. They have 11.5 wins. The team with the worst odds is Connecticut. And guess what? They own Connecticut's pick for who? Marina Mabry trade last year. Lastly, folks, you got to look at the Indiana Fever win total at 26.5 wins. This team has continued to play really good basketball. The Minnesota Phoenix Mercury have 27 games left to play. They have, folks, ready the second easiest schedule left to go in the W, 30.5 wins. I think they're going to get there. Shout out to the walking bucket, Kalia Copper. Shout out Alyssa Thomas. Shout out Satu Sabli. And shout out that whole organization. Everybody thought that the sun was setting on the Phoenix Mercury, and it's everything but that. Coming up next, we'll get into our scouting report as we'll break down the Commissioner's Cup final between the Fever and the Lynx. Is Caitlin Clark even going to play in that game? And then we'll look at other games, including the expansion of the future of the WNBA. We'll be back to talk about a scouting report and a little bit of WNBA expansion after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 162. And it's time to get into our scouting report as we break down games in the WNBA. Only one game in the WNBA Tuesday night, and that's the Commissioner's Cup Final, as Caitlin Clark, she should be back, and the Indiana Fever take on Big Feast, Nafisha Collier, and the Minnesota Lynx. Right now, Minnesota's laying 5.5 points, over under 167.5, plus 190 for the Fever, and minus 240 for the Minnesota Lynx. And when you really look at this matchup, you know, they've been wildly inconsistent, the Indiana Fever. I mean, everybody's going to look at particularly that one game that they had versus the New York Liberty when she came back and she buried a ton of threes in that performance. But a lot of people don't remember that sort of the Liberty slide, Jonquel Jones. And that's going to get to that really quick. Is I'm going to say this right now. I've said it time and time again. I want people to pay very close attention. The Liberty cannot win a championship without Jonquel Jones. You hear me? I don't care if they have Stewie and they have obviously Sapp. They need Jonquel and they need Leona Fibich to come back. Those two are huge components for the Liberty if they're going to win a title. And that's why you've seen their odds drop down to win the title, but also to be at 32.5 wins. So when you look at this matchup between these two teams, obviously Indiana, one game under 500, all right, at 500, should say 8-8. Minnesota Lynx, best record in the WNBA at 14-2. I am going to lay the points with the Minnesota Lynx. I think this team is dynamite, especially at home. I think that Indiana is wildly inconsistent so far this year. And I just think with the number, the way that they play defense, they're going to load up on Caitlin Clark. So when you think about Caitlin Clark, where can you go to the market? For me, it's Caitlin Clark over 2.5 meet threes. You know, with me, I think that she's going to have to bomb away. I think that they're going to be losing. So I think the shot attempts are going to be for Caitlin Clark. So look for Caitlin Clark to go over 2.5 made threes. As you look to the Minnesota Lynx, I mean, where else are you going besides Big Fish? Nafisha Collier, who is the MVP right now in the WNBA, her points prop is sitting at 23.5 points for this contest. And I expect Nafisha Collier to go over. I think this is someone that still doesn't get the respect nationally that she deserves. I think when you think about the WNBA, you think about Caitlin Clark, you think about Paige Beckers, you think about Breanna Stewart, you think about Sabrina Ionescu, you think of Asia Wilson. Man, you may even think about Kelsey Plum. You could think about other players. But to me, is there anybody playing better than Big Fish right now? Fish College is scoring 24.4 points per game, 8.5 rebounds. So to me, this is a chance for her on a national stage because everybody's going to watch a game for Caitlin Clark. Look for Big Fish to go over her points prop. Why is everybody watching? Well, because of Caitlin Clark. And Caitlin Clark not only is a top vote getter, she broke her own record for most votes when she did it last year. Caitlin Clark continues to be the eyeballs on the set for the WNBA. And they need this girl to continue to play at a high level. She is the best ambassador for the league. And damn it, players, she's the best thing for your wallet. Speaking about the future of the WNBA, there is obviously going to be continued expansion as they're going to have 16 teams by 2030. Cleveland, remember them? The Cleveland Rockers, they once had a team. They're going to be in 2028. The Detroit, remember the Detroit Shock? They're going to be a WNBA team. And Philadelphia, I've talked a lot about the city of Philadelphia. My good friends, Kevin Lynch and Tony Lee of the Philadelphia Rise, one of the premier AAU organizations. You could talk about a guy named Mike Flynn, started the Philadelphia Bells. They deserve to get a team in Philadelphia. They're going to be way more than 16. We're going to be pushing 20 WNBA teams not too long. And shout out to the W. Just damn it, protect Caitlin Clark. This has been your Betting About the Rim podcast for June 30th. For all things sports gambling, download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. For my producer, Matty George, Vinny does a great job with the graphics. Thanks for listening, folks, and always remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.